welcome to The Doug Show. My name's Doug Cunnington, and you are listening to new intro music. I occasionally jam with my friend Tyler. He plays the drums, and we go to this place, I'll tell you about it, maybe some other time, and we just play loud, and this may have been one of the first or second times that we were playing together, and I was like, oh, this is cool, I'm just going to bring one of my recorders, because I have a bunch of audio equipment and stuff that I recorded the podcast on back in the day, and I was like, you know what, I'm just going to hit record, and I have a bunch of, you know, just wild, long jams where we're trying to feel it out. So I'll give a little update on the music from the old Shutterstock.com issue that I had as well. And this is a classic episode. I'm going to have a beer. I'll tell you a little bit about that. I'll talk about some things I have coming up. By the time you listen to this, I'll be back from a trip, but I'll be unplugging a little bit. So I have some other updates as well. The last few episodes have largely centered on me talking about potentially calling out scammers out there. And I put scammers in air quotes because it's hard to tell if people are like intentionally doing something bad or if they're just fucking up. It's hard to say. And just a little update on the podcast too. Actually, I want to open the beer up. So this one is called Wonderful Things. It's from Four Noses, which is a local brewery around here. I think they have like their main brewery in Denver, but they have a location in Boulder. It says this was brewed and packaged in Denver, Colorado. They actually tell us the hops. So this is, it's called Wonderful Things. It's a West Coast double IPA. And I really like West Coast IPAs over hazies 99% of the time. I'm sure I'm offending a great number of you out there, but I just like a clear beer most of the time. And not to say that I don't like hazies, but it's like when I go to a brewery and it's like six hazies and no clear beer, I'm like, come on, man, give me something here. So Amarillo hops, Centennial, Simcoe, Montueca. I think that's how you say that one. And then the malts, Two Row, Munich, and Oats. Clocks in at 8.2 ABV. So it's a perfect morning beer. No, I'm just kidding. It's the afternoon right now. Real good beer. And I found it initially when we were on vacation out in the mountains. We were driving by Woodland Park. We're heading out to the high country. Woodland Park is like on the way to Cripple Creek. It's west of Colorado Springs. We stopped by a Safeway, which is like a Kroger, Albertsons kind of. It's just a grocery store. They had a great beer selection, and they actually had this. And then one of our friends back in Atlanta is a big Tigger fan. I have no idea why or what, but on the label, Tigger is on there, which I'm trying to get the camera to focus. But the guy was like, we sent him a picture, and then a couple weeks later, he was like, man, can you send some of that out? Just a fictional story, so I didn't send alcohol or anything like that. But I picked up some more of this beer because I saw it at my local beer shop because it's pretty good. So that's what I'm drinking today. And yeah, should be shorter episode. I think I like this 20 to 30 minute length. I don't ramble on as much, although I feel myself doing it now. So a few of the updates, right? So music, I got it's not a copyright strike, but it's a copyright claim against my video from a couple weeks ago. I used the same intro music that I've been using for 6 years, which I paid for a license at Shutterstock in 2019, technically. When I looked back at the receipt, it was December of 2018 is when I grabbed that music, paid $50 or something like that. And basically, I got the copyright claim against my video. And I was like, what the fuck? I've been using the same thing for a while. This is weird. And it's actually relatively straightforward. You go to Shutterstock, you log in, you request a content claim monetization ID, something or other. Basically, you can go in and request it, and within 2 or 3 days, they'll send you some weird snippet of code that has the information that they're looking for. So I don't monetize my videos, but if there's a claim against it, then other people, Shutterstock in this case, I believe, will then, I guess they attempt to monetize it. And then for those few days that you're unable to monetize it, they are monetizing it, I assume, and then taking the money. And they don't give that back. So I have heard recently there's been more like copyright claims, and like, I don't know what the mechanism is. I actually asked, I said, hey, did I do something wrong? They didn't reply back. So anyway, as I mentioned before, I don't recommend Shutterstock anymore. That's kind of unacceptable. Like I said, they give you no recourse to claim the money back. So if they were showing ads, I don't get any of that. I mean, not that many people watch the video, to be honest with you, but still, it's the principle of the thing. And what if I did have a very popular channel out there? I'd be upset. I mean, it could represent like thousands of dollars to someone, not me, but to someone else. So anyway, kind of bad business practice. And they did this before on my other channel as well. And I had to go jump through the hoops to do the monetization stuff. But I said, fuck you guys, I'll just play my own music. So that is the music that I played. And I think I'm going to do it for my other show too. I haven't come up with it yet, but I was texting back and forth with Tyler, and I may switch it up and just be like, all right, we're going to use this for a season, or tell my producer like, hey, here's a few tracks, mix it up. I don't care about branding. But it's cool that I played the guitar on that. Tyler was jamming, and it's not perfect. It's real though. And we just turned, he plays super loud, I have a very loud amp, and it was really fun to do. So since I'm doing it my way here, and I'm not trying to, bow to Shutterstock or whomever, I'll just play my own music. All right. Feedback. I've been getting a lot of feedback. As I mentioned, the last few shows have really been about me talking about potentially calling out bad actors, bad influencers out there that are promoting either crappy products. And if you're not on my email list, you should sign up, because I wrote longer emails where I was basically thinking about the pros and the cons of calling out these folks. And last show, I mentioned, hey, I don't know if it's worth it. I'm not sure if I'll, number one, be able to do like the right and appropriate amount of research, and if it's worth calling people out anyway. So I thought about this, and I may record, I might record something that is in response to it, because at this point I would say it's a low chance that I'm going to record stuff to call people out. A few people actually commented on the videos and sent emails and said, hey, it'd be entertaining for us for you to call people out, but it may be more like hardship on you, Doug, so you should be careful. And that was like a lot of the response. But I have to thank you, everyone out there that replied back. I got so many more responses than I expected. And then, I mean, more than I've ever received in, well, perhaps in recent years, back in the day when everyone was into niche sites, there was a lot more chatter out there. But at this point, I don't get too many emails back, but I got dozens of emails back, which is really cool. And I'm going to pause just for a second to drink some beer here. It's very good. It's good beer. All right. So a lot of replies. A lot of people said, hey, this will be very interesting, and it'll, show those people that they can't, they can't just sell a product and then like turn it off, especially software. Like, you know, here's one of the issues. Like someone comes up with some tool, they built it with AI. Maybe they don't know software very much and they're like, all right, I built a tool, but they don't realize they have to maintain the tool. And if there's issues with it, they have to debug and they have to fix those problems. And by the way, you have to test to make sure when you fix something, you didn't break something else in the meantime. And that's just very basic software development. And if you don't come from a software background and you're like, hey, I'll use these AI tools, and then you sell your product for a little while, and then you're like, oh, actually, this sucks. But you sold some lifetime packages out there, and people were counting on the software. They believed the bullshit that you were telling them, like, oh, I'm using this tool, and it's really changing my business and all this stuff. I mean, so many out there, and there's a handful of people that I don't think they don't realize that they're doing anything wrong. And they're like, yeah, you know what? I tried to do this. I sold it. And people know that it's just like, you know, this, everything moves so fast. They're not expecting to actually be able to use it, but some people they are, and you can't assume like what your audience knows. So I believe there's some folks that are intentionally selling things that they know are crappy. And then other people are just ignorant of the fact. And I think the people that are ignorant will figure it out before too long, because people will stop buying their stuff if they keep creating things. And then they're like, oh, actually this, you know, we don't use that anymore because the internet changed and all that kind of stuff. I mean, people will stop buying their stuff, I hope. So anyway, I got a ton of feedback. Thank you to everyone who replied back. I actually tried to email everyone back, and a handful of those bounced back because my email was marked as spam or something like that. So it hit your server and then it didn't. So I tried to reply back to you. I usually said something specific. I didn't like copy and paste or anything like that. But there were a handful of people that were like, hey, we think this, or hey, we bought a product and this product is actually pretty crappy. So though a couple people did mention those, and you know, I'd never heard of them. I'm not consuming that content, but yeah, the bad part is there's, you know, there are still people out there and they seem so convincing and they pop up on your feed and you don't know what you don't know. So if you're a beginner, you may end up watching these videos, and then there's a handful of other people that are in their circle jerk situation and they're thinking, oh yeah, I'm seeing these other people talk about it and they say it's good. And then, you know, there's a handful of people that just promote each other's stuff. And it's a weird thing. And the craziest part of this whole thing. So I was inspired for this topic because I chatted with a few friends and I mentioned, I have observed this thing and it looks like there's more scammers out there, or people that I didn't think were scammers are selling products where I'm like, this is clearly bullshit, right? So when I mentioned that, the two individuals that I talked to, they were like, is it this person? And I was like, no, it's not. I haven't followed them in years. I had no clue. And they both mentioned different people. And sure enough, when I got the emails back, there were probably like four responses that mentioned someone, again, not who I was thinking of. And it was, so there's all these people, like, I don't even need to tell you, hey, look out, there's some scammers out there. You probably already have somebody in mind. And I think that's how I'm going to end up framing it in the actual video. And I don't know how it'll turn out exactly, but I have some ideas. But in the short term, I mean, if you think something is a little funny and too good to be true, then don't buy it. Like, if someone is making too many claims, like, don't buy it. If they've ever sold anything where you're like, this seems like they were full of shit, then just don't buy anything from them. Or if they're promoting their friend and you see their offer come around, yeah, if it smells funny a little bit, then just stay away from it. It's not worth the risk. In a couple days, I'm going to be heading out to some national parks. I'm going to unplug for a little while. I'm looking forward to it. It's one of the great things with a lot of the national parks. You have horrible data connections and Wi-Fi is not available. I'll be going into Yellowstone and hanging out with my dad. I think we may do a little video based on the travel. You know, I like the vlog. I like the idea of vlogging. It always ends up being a pain in the butt, but I think if I frame it in the right way, and I've been watching, you know, vlogs for years. So I have seen some more recently where it's way more casual and, you know, in air quotes, like amateur. It's like real people recording and they were like, you know what? We did some stuff, but I didn't record it because it was a pain in the ass. And I'll just tell you about it now. And there's some B-roll. We took some pictures. So they like make it work. And I'm like, oh, okay, like I can make it work. I don't want it to dictate my day. But yeah, heading into Yellowstone. And I was telling a couple friends yesterday, I'm like, yeah, I invited my dad to go out to Yellowstone. We'll probably drive through the Grand Tetons on the way back. And we're staying in lodges, which normally we're traveling with Georgie, the dog, or our old dog, Brody. And they don't allow pets in very many places in national parks. And you could often bring a dog into some of the lodging, but usually it's the cabin area or the more rustic stuff. You usually cannot bring your dog into the big old lodges. And Yellowstone has a few like really awesome. If you're unfamiliar, like watch some documentaries, like go check it out on YouTube or whatever. But like they have the Lake Hotel, which is fantastic. And it's more like hotel style. And then they have Old Faithful Inn, which is like a giant, like 4 to 5 story log cabin. So it's built with logs. And, you know, when they built it, they actually hired like bridge makers, and it was circa that say maybe like 1905, something like that, around that time frame, maybe a little bit earlier, could have been a little bit earlier. I've been on the tour there, but it's been a few years. They have a huge fireplace in the middle and like a rock chimney going up. Super cool place. But the thing is, we'll be able to stay in those lodges. So we're staying in the Lake Hotel, Old Faithful Inn, Canyon Lodge, which the canyon is actually a very new structure that was built in, I believe, 2016. So that one's brand spanking new, basically. But anyway, I was telling a friend, like, hey, my dad's coming in, we're doing a trip. And she was like, oh, that's great. That's a trip of a lifetime. And I was like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. I was like, we lived in Bozeman. So like we've been like dozens of times, like we've been to Yellowstone a bunch. It's cool every time. It's not like you're able to see everything. Like you're always like compromising. And I think back, I'm like, we lived in Bozeman for 4 years. We went a bunch and we would try to go off season most of the time. And that made it better because there were fewer people. There's less traffic and you feel less rushed. I like a park that's not too packed. However, my dad and I were going to be there like during like the heart of summer. Like it's right in the middle of summer, right smack dab when everyone in the country is like, all the kids are out of school, right? So, you know, once you hit say like early mid August, some places are actually going back to school. But anyway, it'll be cool. We don't have a big agenda. We have a lot of just open time. We do have dinner reservations at all the nice restaurants. So those are at the lodges. And that'll be like the lake dining room and Old Faithful Inn dining room there. So should be very awesome. And not all parks have poor data connections, but the ones that are often more remote, especially out west, these are in the middle of nowhere. So over the years, the data connections and Wi-Fi availability has been a little bit more in Yellowstone. I mean, the first time I went, it was like 1999. So it's like, there's no Wi-Fi. There's no cell phone towers close by. In fact, I don't even think, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, I probably had a cell phone. It was probably like a Motorola StarTAC or something like that. If you're a younger person, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're like, there's a time before cell phones. Yeah, we had pagers and stuff. And yeah, like having a laptop was like bananas. So anyway, the connectivity has gotten better. And I know like at Old Faithful, you know, I went years ago and they actually, like I was able to connect via data and send some texts and stuff. Now it's, I think it's a little bit more connected, but not a ton. I know we stayed in the lake not too long ago, and I believe one of the hotels had like some Wi-Fi and you would see people like going in and checking their phone. But the last time I stayed in Yellowstone for a stretch like this, I stopped bringing my phone with me. I just left it in the room and walked around, and you would get the phantom vibration in your pocket where you think some signal is coming through, but I didn't even have the phone in my pocket, which is a funny thing to think about. But we'll be zipping around a little bit, and the cameras on our phones are so good. So I will have it around and on me, and we won't be staying in one place the whole time. So by the time you listen to this, I will be back home already, just based on the schedule and all that stuff. But it'll be very fun. One thing you may have noticed over the past several episodes, I haven't been doing interviews, and I was trying to hook one up with Olga Czar, who's been on the show several times, 5 or 6 times, but it's been a little while. And actually I should probably send her an email, but we were like, all right, maybe we could do an interview, just catch up, see what's going on. But the scheduling has been a little difficult. I think we're like eight or nine hours difference. So it would probably require me to wake up very early one morning. So we may do it in the summer, because I can't, it's easy for me to wake up early in the morning during the summer when the sun comes up and all that, very early. But still, scheduling has been a little tough. And then actually Dave Fox pinged me. So if you've been around for a while, Dave Fox was one of the earliest interviews that I did. He was an early student of mine in like 2015. So I actually remember he and I doing calls in 2015 when we stayed in Whitefish, Montana near Glacier National Park. I still had a job and I was doing side hustle stuff. And it was just before I released my courses and stuff. So I was kind of like, I had sort of the game plan. Dave kind of went through it, and it wasn't, he didn't enroll in a course. It was just like some one-on-one coaching, and he went on to earn lots of money. I think he started many other sites and dabbled in other areas. But anyway, he pinged me and he was like, hey, I want to do an update if possible. So let me know about that. What do you think? Would you want to get an update from Dave Fox? Leave a comment out there. And I was struggling because he's pinging me before. And I mean, a lot of people want to try to be on the show, right? Dave and I have a history. He was, again, one of the early folks that wanted to share his story. So I always appreciate that. But I was like, hey, like, do you have actionable stuff to share? Do you have, like, is it success story stuff? Is it somewhere in the middle? Like, what are we talking about here? Because, I mean, the fact is, success stories are fun and they're inspiring, but often people get a ton of value from a non-success story. So I was trying to gauge like what's going on, and I wasn't really sure what I want to do with the show. And it's like, okay, is this relevant? I think there are enough people that have stuck around, and you probably will send me an email, feedback@doug.show. Or leave a comment on YouTube and let me know, like, hey, yeah, it would be cool to hear from Dave, and I'm curious about these things. So let me know what you think. And going back to that, like a lot of this show initially was success interviews and just sort of classic interviews. But I'm in a spot now where I'm like trying to determine, do I want to keep doing the show? And I received an email from my friend Josh out in the St. Louis area. And I have an email back, by the way. So he actually listens to my other show, Mile High Five. But I didn't realize that he listens to the Doug Show also. I got a couple emails where people were like, yeah, I actually listen to both your shows. Maybe not all of them. I know, like, I don't even listen to all the episodes from like shows that I really like. So I get it. You pick and choose. There's a lot of content out there these days. So anyway, there's a handful of y'all that listen to both of them, which is really cool. And I appreciate it. And I heard from you. And I think, you know, me really thinking out loud and sharing like, hey, previously the Doug Show was a top end funnel to sell courses. I haven't sold the courses in 2 years. And this is a hobby at this point. So I'm thinking, am I getting stuff out of this? And I ran, you know, I looked at the analytics and everything. And I was like, actually, there's a pretty good number of people that listen. And if I extrapolate it out and think about it a little bit, I'm like, wow, that's a decent number of people. So I appreciate that. And I know that you all have supported the show in the past and you listen now and you try to support the show now, even by just consuming it. And I appreciate that. So I heard from enough people where I'm like, okay, I can figure out some stuff. And like many things, it's a hobby, right? So, and it's a, in air quotes, it's a job. So I'm like able to create whatever job that I want. And, you know, the technical aspect of recording the video and the audio and stuff, there's some overhead with the admin, like the Shutterstock situation and the music. But now if I'm like, I'm going to make my own music and it's not going to be perfect, but it'll be my music and I won't have to worry about copyright stuff. Man, if I get a copyright strike on on this, I'll have to hire a IP lawyer apparently. But anyway, the point is, there's a little bit of overhead doing the show. However, I can essentially just interview who I want. So like I mentioned in past episodes, like I'm into watching essentially like guitar related YouTube channels. And luckily, I mean, my channel does have enough subscribers where if I do email people, they'll probably reply they'll reply back. Probably. And they'll probably interview with me if I ask nicely. If I have a connection, that's even better. But the channel is big enough and I can say, hey, I've interviewed these other folks and have been featured in these places. So there's some legitimacy around that. All that to say, it could be interesting to kind of focus on YouTubers, but in topic areas that I'm really interested in. And then we can geek out on whatever we want. And part of it, I mean, I watch a lot of cooking and food related things too. So I could like branch out just in my interest areas and basically talk to the creators that I watch, which could be really interesting. Cause I watch a lot of, you know, outdoor stuff too. I've reached out to a couple people, but I feel like there were a couple like van life folks that I tried a specific way to get in touch with them and I didn't hear back. And I was like, I wonder if it just got lost in the mix, because usually someone would just say, no, thanks. Cause it's not like I'm making a big ask. I'm like, hey, I think what you're doing is cool. Will you do an interview? I like to talk to creators. So that is one angle that I'm looking at to keep it fresh and interesting for myself. And I mean, I assume that you've checked out the last few episodes. This would be a weird one to come into as your very first episode, but it happens. So the last few episodes have just been solo. And I tell my stories. Sometimes I'll make an outline like today. I mean, it's just a bullet point list. It's not really an outline. So I think there's a path where there can be some of the sort of classic interviews and a little more back and forth and some of these travel things as well. So I said I wasn't going to ramble too much today. I talked enough where I hardly drank any beer at all, but I drank a little. So I think we'll get the jam, the music back in for the outro. And if you have feedback on this episode, things you want to hear about, let me know. If you haven't left a review, then leave a review. 5 stars is best, but trust your judgment that you've made it this far.